Hi, everybody. Hi, friends of More, the management of reality. This is our weekly live English podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the biggest scandal you never heard about and how it was covered up. So just so you know where to find this. Hi, Joel. How are you doing?
Hi, Francisco. Hi, everyone.
Okay, so I'm going to show you guys where you can find this. I'm going to share my screen right away. And there it is. So what you're seeing here is a series of three articles. The first one is over here. Limited Hangout, 1967 to 77. How to fool the citizens into thinking that the government has been reformed. Okay, and that's a photo of Senator Frank Church, creator of the famous Church Committee, which investigated the activities of U.S. intelligence, the early 1970s. And then part two is this piece over here. They're all new. This is the education media system test, because the first one is here we're doing a test of the judicial system, right? So we want to know whether the judicial system was working properly when these scandals were aired. And we're going to talk about the scandals in a second. And then the third piece, which we just published, is called the conspiracy theory gambit. And that one explains how the way that everybody started talking about conspiracy theory, every authority started talking about conspiracy theory, was designed to hide what the U.S. government was doing. In other words, it was a psychological operation, a psyop, to make it impossible for people to even think about suspecting that the spies running the U.S. government might be doing bad things in secret. So what is this about? Well, let's start with the first one. So first of all, in 1967, oh, and I should share my screen again, because there's an article specifically about what happened in 1967 that we have, which is this. So if you go to archive and you type in there ramparts, you'll see this article. It's called The National Student Association, the CIA, and the Structure of a Captured Organization. And what this article is talking about is this is the trigger. It's the investigation that became the trigger for a long series of scandals in the period 1967 to 1977. Now, this particular investigation was done by Ramparts magazine. Ramparts was a small, it had started out as a small Catholic magazine, and then it sort of became a very daring investigative journalism, a center for investigative journalism, and they did some amazing stuff. So what made them really famous and put them on the map was this investigation that you see on the upper left-hand corner. It says an expose of the CIA and the National Student Association. What were they looking at? They were exposing that the National Student Association, which was the biggest student association in the country. They had chapters all over the country, universities all over the country. And what Ramparts exposed in that publication is that the National Student Association, again, the biggest in the country, was a CIA front. Now, this was the beginning of a long string of scandals, because once this was exposed, a lot of people started wondering, what else has the CIA corrupted, right? It's a natural question, because the CIA was not even supposed to be operating on U.S. soil. I mean, so this was a violation of the CIA's charter. If you look at the National Security Act, which is the law that created the CIA in 1947, that law explicitly forbids the CIA from doing anything on U.S. soil. Now, we have an article on that law as well. Let me point it out so that people can go look at the documentation. So if you go to the archive and you type NSA, you'll see here the National Security Act of 1947. Okay, so that's the law that created the CIA. And it explicitly says the CIA may not do, you know, it may not operate within the United States. Now, however, the National Security Act, and most people don't know this, the National Security Act authorizes the CIA to corrupt and manipulate the media, political, financial, and economic processes in foreign countries. So the CIA has explicit authorization to go ruin the democratic life of other countries and to corrupt their politicians, their media, their financial institutions, everything. But supposedly they're forbidden, expressly forbidden from doing that sort of thing in the United States. These things are called covert operations or clandestine operations. So what do you think, Yoel? What do you think happens when you create an agency that is allowed to corrupt foreign countries, but don't do it in the United States? What do you think is gonna happen?
It's gonna be corrupted. It's gonna be the prediction of Maurice Joly, right? Like he predicted in his book, as you mentioned before, that if you give them a lot of power with the ability not to say anything about it, at the end of the day, they're gonna be corrupted. They're gonna do things they're not allowed to, and they're gonna
corrupt everything.
Break, right? the democracy.
They're gonna corrupt everything, because so what the National Security Act does, in addition to encouraging the CIA to corrupt the structures of foreign countries, it gives the CIA permission to initiate any action at any time without asking anybody. And they can postpone the report of any such activity. And we explained all that in the article on the National Security Act. They can postpone any report of their activities indefinitely, just putting a stamp that says national security on the documents, right? So of course, what kind of people would you recruit to the CIA? Would you be recruiting people who are entirely unscrupulous, right? Because the entire point of the CIA is to lie to people, right? So the covert operations require that you, if you're a CIA agent, that you present yourself as something else. So you'll pretend to be a businessman, or you'll pretend to be a journalist. You may even pretend to be a State Department diplomat. You'll pretend to be anything except a CIA agent, because the entire purpose of clandestine operations is to mislead and to lie and to manipulate. So that means that you're not going to be recruiting honest, scrupulous people to the CIA. You're going to be recruiting crooks. And that means, and so, So if you tell these crooks, look, you can corrupt anything outside of the United States, but don't touch the United States, they're not going to be able to resist. These are people who are drunk on their power to manipulate foreign structures, right? They're not going to resist extending their power inside the United States. And that's precisely what Ramparts demonstrated when they published this expose that showed the National Student Association was a front for the CIA. So, forgive me. When this was exposed, the CIA had been operating for 20 years. It was created in 1947. And this was published in 1967, Ramparts Exposé. So when they published that, a lot of people wondered, what else are they doing? What else have they corrupted? And Ramparts kept investigating, and then other investigators, for example, at the New York Times and other places, started investigating, and they quickly found that the CIA had corrupted pretty much everything. I mean, they had, it was a giant octopus of corruption that had spread its tentacles into absolutely everything. And the revelations got so bad. The revelations got so bad, became so embarrassing, that the executive branch had to pretend to investigate itself. So a commission was created called, informally, the Rockefeller Commission, because it was headed by Nelson Rockefeller, who at the time was the vice president. Because Nixon had resigned among the with the revelations of the Watergate scandal, which is only one of the scandals of this period. It's the only one that people remember, and that's very interesting. And it's the smallest, the most insignificant of all the scandals of that period. Because of Watergate, Nixon had resigned. You know, there was an impeachment process against Nixon, so he resigned to avoid that. And Gerald Ford becomes president. He had been the vice president. And Nelson Rockefeller was then appointed Ford's vice president, okay? So when the public pressure to investigate this forced the executive branch to pretend to investigate itself, Ford appointed Nelson Rockefeller to do this investigation of the CIA and so forth. Now, this was funny because Nelson Rockefeller was the guy who had created the CIA. Nelson and David Rockefeller had basically created the CIA, and they were informally running it. Alan Dulles, who was the actual guy directing the CIA for many years, had been reporting to Nelson and especially to David Rockefeller everything that he was doing. The Rockefellers were essentially running the CIA. So this is the fox guarding the hen house, I think is the expression that they use in English, right? So in Congress, in Congress, the senators could see that the Rockefeller Commission was really not
real.
Yeah, they were covering up more than investigating what was going on. They were pretending to investigate, but not really. They were covering it up. So Senator Frank Church created the Senate Select Committee. I forget the exact name. It's a very long name. It's the Senate Select Committee to investigate intelligence activities or something like that. I'll give you the exact name, but for short, it's called the Church Committee. So, because Senator Frank Church is the guy who created it, And the church committee was created precisely because people suspected, you know, that Rockefeller, Nelson Rockefeller, was not really looking into this. It's U.S. Senate Select Committee on U.S. Senate Select Committee to Study Governmental Operations with Respect to Intelligence Activities. It's a mouthful. So people always call it the Church Committee. Anyway, a lot of really bad stuff was revealed by the Church Committee. So these are the scandals. These are the really, really big scandals. And most people don't know anything about them. It's not part of standard education. You don't get it really in the history in textbooks. Americans don't really learn about this in high school. Maybe they hear a little bit about this in college, but almost nothing. And that is amazing, because these scandals basically revealed that the U.S. government had become a criminal organization. So I'll just give you a taste for what was revealed. There was a CIA program called MKUltra. MKUltra was the CIA's mind control program. So when you hear mind control program, CIA mind control program, what movies does it make you think about, Yoel?
No.
I'll give you one. Did you see The Bourne Identity?
No.
Okay, so The Bourne Identity is this movie with, what's his name? I always forget actors' names. Anyway, The Bourne Identity is this movie where the central character is a CIA agent who doesn't remember who he is. He doesn't remember who he is, but obviously he's very highly trained because he's got all these special skills and stuff that he's not sure where they came from. Anyway, long story short, he's an assassin. he's trained, he has been trained to kill, you know, high profile targets. But his mind has been destroyed by means of, you know, torture and electroshock and hypnosis and these kinds of things, so that after he kills someone, he won't know what he did, and he won't be able to testify about it. And if he is captured, nobody will be able to get any information from him. So this, they had this idea of creating the perfect assassins. In fact, the ambition was that if they subjected individuals to a regimen of, you know, torture, drugs, hypnosis, electroshock, all of these things, they would destroy their minds to the point where they could program them so that maybe you'd be on a trip somewhere and your memory would have been erased. You don't remember at all that you've been tortured and drugged by the CIA. You know, this, your brain has been emptied of that with these techniques, and so you think of yourself as a, you know, a family man or whatever. You have a regular job, whatever. You don't remember your CIA experience. You're just living your life, and then one day you get a call from a CIA handler. You know, you answer them, hello. And they say the key phrase that is supposed to activate the entire psychological program. So they say the phrase, you know, some stupid phrase. One flew over the cuckoo's nest, whatever, some phrase. And that phrase activates you. And then you go carry out the program, you know, like a robot. And so the program would be, you know, you go assassinate whoever you're supposed to assassinate. You go, you kill them, and then they give you another phrase or whatever, and suddenly you can't remember anything that you did. And so that's the perfect assassin, right? There was a famous novel written about this called The Manchurian Candidate. So people now refer to these perfect assassins that the CIA wanted to create as Manchurian candidates because of that novel. Now, in order to develop the science to do this, the CIA destroyed many human beings. Okay, people were tortured, they were drugged, they were given electroshock therapy, and many of these people never consented. So some of the experiments the CIA did, and this was a lot of people. This is not a few people. This is a lot of people that they experimented on, and many of them never consented. It's not like they were CIA agents who knew what they were doing and they thought it was patriotic and so they volunteered for this. That's what happens in the Bourne Identity. But many of these people were just going about their lives, and the CIA was spraying them with drugs, out in the wild in society. They were spraying people with drugs and stuff to see what the effects were. Some of the people that the CIA experimented on were maimed for life, and some were killed. Now, we don't have the exact numbers because all of most of the evidence for the MK Ultra program was destroyed. I believe that was destroyed by CIA Director Richard Helms, if I'm remembering that correctly. But anyway, it was all destroyed. So we have very little, we don't have any knowledge about how many people's lives were destroyed. But regardless of how many they were, the fact that this program existed tells you that the people running the CIA were psychopaths, okay? Yeah. With no concern for people's rights.
Well,
treating them the way Nazis treated people in their medical experiments in the death camps, right? So it's very famous that Nazi doctor Josef Mengele and other Nazi doctors experimented on death camp victims, and they had all kinds of medical experiments that they were running on them, treating them like lab rats, torturing them to death. It is no coincidence that the CIA adopted these practices, because as we also document on Management of Reality, we have an article that I will put on the screen right now. If you go to the archive and you type Nazis, you'll see this article, which is called "How Many Nazis Were Secretly Recruited at the Creation of the CIA?"
Wow.
And what we document here is that, in fact, tens of thousands of Nazis, at least, I think it's many more, but at least tens of thousands of Nazis were recruited at the creation of the CIA, because what the U.S. government did is it basically absorbed the entire intelligence infrastructure of the German Nazis in the East, of foreign armies East, which was the structure that was run by Nazi General Reinhard Gehlen. Okay, so they captured Gehlen at the end of the war, and Gehlen said, "Hey, I can recreate the whole Hitler's entire intelligence infrastructure in Eastern Europe." And the Americans said, "Great," the American military said, "Great, let's do it," and they did it. So of course, the CIA was behaving like a bunch of Nazis, because they were a bunch of Nazis. They're a bunch of Nazis. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm thinking, when I was in high school, when we were studying about the history of the Second World War.
Yeah.
I was like 14 years old, maybe, something like that. And I remember thinking, thank God that the Nazis, it lost. Right.
Yeah.
They were defeated by the Allies. Thank God that happened. But then everything you just said in this 25 minutes of this live is that the Nazis were not defeated, and they were continue to run the most powerful entities and governments in the world. So that's amazing. That's just unbelievable.
Yep. And we have an article to explain that too. Let me put that on the screen. We have an article to explain why this makes sense, that they would absorb all of these Nazis, because they had created the Nazis in the first place. So if you go to the archive and you type eugenics, oh, there it is. You'll see that the eugenics movement, which is the parent movement that produced German Nazism, was actually very popular with the ruling elites all over the West. And in fact, the US bosses became the international leaders of the eugenics movement. And the Rockefeller Network, the Carnegie Network, the Ford Network, and a few other great monopolists in the United States, they spent fortunes setting up the eugenics movement in the United States and elsewhere. And they sent a lot of money to Germany. And thanks to their efforts, German eugenics became German Nazism. So the German Nazis were their baby. So it makes sense that they took them into receivership at the end of World War II. Okay, so now the most amazing thing about MKUltra is that it is a small crime compared to what the military was doing. So the US military in the same period, so this goes from 1949 to 1969, the US military was conducting open air biowarfare tests on the US population. So they were developing the science of biowarfare, building biological weapons of mass destruction. And in order to develop that science, they needed to test biological agents on a lot of people. So what they did is they treated the US population as guinea pigs, as lab rats, and they sprayed, get this, millions of people with harmful biological agents. We don't know how many people they killed. that data was never made available. We don't know how many people they made sick, but we do know that they sprayed millions of people because they ended up confessing to this in the US Congress as part of the investigations of the Church Committee and then another committee that was created a bit later. And that saw testimony in 1977. The other committee, I can't remember what these committees are called, but it's all in the articles, right? So we have an article on this too. Let me put it on the screen, because now we're really connecting the dots here, and we've finally managed to publish a lot of what people need to see. So if you type biowarfare. We have two articles on this. We have this one, did the U.S. Army spray bioweapons on your family? We explained the so-called biowarfare tests here. And then we have another article that explains why you never heard about this. Okay? Now... when I tell people about the biowarfare tests, you know what happens? Their eyes glaze over. It's like it goes in one ear and out the other. It doesn't get processed. Because if you process it, then you know that the West is being run by total psychopaths. And the only solution is to replace the government. And to dismantle it and reform it completely. We have to start again. So that is such a pessimistic outlook that when I tell people about the biowarfare experiments, they're just like, okay. And it's like their brains make an effort to pretend they didn't hear it because the consequences are so gigantic.
Yeah, and also I think we don't understand very well. I will try to explain myself. Like when you say they spread with biochemicals to millions of people of the US, the same citizens, like it's easy to count one apple, two apples, three apples, but when you say a millions, like we don't dimension it, we don't understand it, and like we never saw that.
Okay, let me give you an image.
Okay.
So they were spraying entire cities and regions with bacteria and so forth. The clouds of bacteria that they were spraying over the cities were so thick, so obviously visible. They would use low-flying planes and or they would mount machines on buildings and stuff. And the clouds were so thick that the explanation they gave to city authorities about what they were doing is that they said they were testing a technology to hide the city from a possible Soviet attack from the air. Now, for that explanation to be plausible to a city mayor,
well,
the cloud of germs has to be so thick that you can't see through it. That's what they were doing. They were spraying tons of germs. Now,
wow.
There's a concept, and this is why the pieces we're publishing are called Limited Hangout. And here I'm giving you just two examples, the two most scandalous examples, but the CIA was doing a bunch of other things, all of it illegal, all of it very bad. Like we said, they were corrupting all manner of institutions, citizen institutions in the United States. So there's a concept in intelligence circles called the limited hangout. And if you go to Wikipedia and you type limited hangout, you'll see there's an article that explains this. The limited hangout. So imagine that you're the CIA and that somebody, a journalist or, you know, Ramparts magazine or somebody gets wind of something that you're doing that is illegal, some criminal activity. And they publish it, as happened in 1967. What the spies do is they pretend to collaborate with the investigations. And they pretend to release the information about what they're doing in order to hide what they're doing. In other words, they show you the tip of the iceberg, you know, pretending to cooperate. They're like, yeah, we did this. Sorry, we won't do it again. And this is what we did. And here are the documents. And they give you a tiny bit of what they're doing. And they give you the impression of having shown you everything they were doing. So you're like, oh, and the idea is the public is so shocked, so distracted, so fascinated by what is being revealed. And the machinery of government is so convincing, you know, in that it's investigating what the spooks did, what the spies did, that everybody is distracted into sort of letting it go. In other words, people get the impression that it was all revealed, and that the machinery of the system is self-correcting. I mean, if it became public, it would be because the checks and balances are working, and you know the people supposed to investigate this are investigating it, and now they must be making the changes so that this doesn't happen again, right? But none of that is done. Nothing changes. They show you a little bit. They show you the tip. They hide the rest of the iceberg, and they give you the impression of a system that is self-correcting, a democratic system undergoing self-correction. But in reality, nothing changes, right? That's the concept of the limited hangout. So the question for us is, these tremendous scandals that go from 1967 to 1977, much of it revealed via the Church Committee in the U.S. Senate. Was that the U.S. system, the democratic U.S. system, self-correcting and reforming so that this wouldn't happen again? Or was this a limited hangout, okay, to give the impression of self-correction, but in reality protect the intelligence community so that the intelligence community could continue doing all sorts of bad things in secret? And we know the answer because there's different ways of establishing this, but one that is very convincing is that 10 years after these scandals ended, because they end in 1977. So actually, well, 9 years, 9 years after these scandals ended in 1986, there was another scandal, which is well known to readers of our more Substack, which is the Iran-Contra scandal. And what was revealed in the Iran-Contra scandal was that the CIA was sending billions of dollars in armament to Ayatollah Khomeini, who was supposed to be the United States' biggest enemy, right? He's the leader of the world jihad against Israel and against the United States. The guy who kept saying that United States was great Satan and that he was going to destroy the United States and he was going to launch a jihad to kill us all and enslave us all. The CIA was sending billions of dollars in armament secretly to that guy, okay? The guy that created the entire jihadi mess that we are now in. So clearly, nothing was reformed. The CIA was still up to its dirty tricks. If you want to read about that, let me see. Let me show you everybody where that is. So we have a whole series on Iran-Contra. Here we go. Iran-Contra still a mystery. Okay, so this is where the series begins, right? But if you want to know about the something that is very important about the Iran-Contra series, is that, or the Iran-Contra investigation, because this became a whole thing. The Iran-Contra became a gigantic scandal, international scandal. And of course, they were forced to do another limited hangout. So they were forced to do another theater of investigating, you know, and there was a congressional investigation which produced a report and this and that. But let me give you two dramatic facts here. First of all, how many people went to jail? How many people were prosecuted even for MK Ultra and the biowarfare experiments and everything else that was revealed from 67 to 77?
Zero.
Zero.
Wow.
Zero. That is not a system self-correcting. And in Iran-Contra, how many people were prosecuted?
Also,
I think the grand total is three, but two were pardoned by one of the Iran-Contra conspirators, which was George Bush. So he became president and he pardoned the two people.
Wow.
The only two people that were being prosecuted. And then the only guy that faced some consequence was Oliver North, but it was almost nothing. So really, it's almost zero legal consequence for the people that that participated in Iran-Contra, because even against Oliver North, they didn't really do anything. So so there you have it. Nobody went to jail. But not only that, the church committee in the first series of scandals found out that the CIA had corrupted the entire media and academic system. Well, they could make the media academic system say anything they wanted. But guess what? That part of the church committee investigation was suppressed from the church committee report. It was not included. Well, so the public didn't find out. It was only explained, this was only explained in one article by Carl Bernstein, who's one of the two very famous investigative journalists who investigated Watergate. He wrote a long article in Rolling Stone explaining what the church committee had found concerning CIA control of the media. But that's it. And so nobody knows about this, really. I mean, it's not part of the political consciousness of US citizens at all. And the biowarfare experiments, which is absolutely the worst crime that these people committed, really, absolutely nobody knows anything about that. Hmm. No U.S. citizen knows anything about that, because there was just one article, one short article in the Washington Post, and then nobody mentioned it ever again. So basically nobody knows of it. There's an entire book written by Leonard Cole, from Rutgers University, a very good book that investigated all of that, written in the 80s. But nobody's read it. It's an academic book that nobody's read. It's called Clouds of Secrecy. And again, in Iran-Contra, the congressional investigators found, once again, that the CIA controlled academia, media and academia. That they had corrupted everything. But once again, this was suppressed from the official congressional report of the investigation. And the only place where this surfaced was in one article. If I'm remembering correctly, it was in Foreign Policy. We can check it, because we have an article on this. So in the Iran-Contra series,
Francisco, we need to go soon. Here.
I know. I'm wrapping up. Yeah. So in the Iran-Contra series, part four, that's where we talk about what was documented in the Iran-Contra investigation. And something's wrong with the load. Oh, there we go. And so let me see. Where was this published? So Parry and Kornbluh, these are two Iran-Contra investigators. Foreign Policy, that's where they published it. Okay, so the only place where people could learn that the CIA had basically taken over media and academia was this one academic paper in Foreign Policy, because everything that the congressional investigators of Iran-Contra had found on this was also suppressed from the congressional report. So what is the conclusion? Well, the conclusion is that the whole thing, once again, was a limited hangout. And the key, see, in a limited hangout, the one thing you have to preserve is the appearance that the government is being investigated by the press. You have to preserve that appearance, because if the press is also controlled, then people know that they're cooked, that there's no portion of the system, no component of the system that is still free and defending democracy, right? Because if everything else fails, you're like, well, at least the journalists are going to investigate and they're going to tell us. So in a limited hangout, you have to somehow preserve the appearance that the news media is free, independent, and investigating government. That's why the what was found concerning CIA control of media and academia, that's why that was suppressed. And it was suppressed both times. Given that it was suppressed both times, there's no reason to expect that anything changed. And therefore, of course, media and academia are still controlled by U.S. intelligence.
Okay, anyway. So let's encourage the audience to go and read the articles for more details. Yeah, thank you so much, and see you next week.
Yeah, but don't forget to give a like, subscribe, and share, because we need to get this everywhere. If we're gonna defend the West, if we're gonna have any chance of recovering our democratic institutions, people need first to understand what happened. And this is what we're explaining. We're explaining how our institutions were corrupted. And as you correctly said, this is something that, just one more second, this is something that Maurice Joly explained a long time ago, as you said. And if people want to understand the theory behind this, because Maurice Joly is the first great theorist of the management of reality. And he explained that this would happen. He said, if we allow in our Western democracies, if we allow the bureaucrats to create clandestine services that spend the money of the citizens in secret, this will happen. They will corrupt the entire system and they will ruin democracy and they will make us slaves. He predicted. So what we are talking about today is the confirmation of Joly's prophecy, which was not really a prophecy because Joly was just describing what had already happened in Louis Napoleon Bonaparte's France, what he did to the Second Republic. Anyway, we will be talking more about this because another article is coming in this series. And it's very important stuff that everybody needs to understand. So we will be returning to this and expanding on it. And I guess that's it. Subscribe, give us a like, share a lot. This is important stuff. We need it to defend the West. So please do your part.